218.
Then the desire of the brethren in Montreal that the young people would get something out of these meetings. I like to look at a subject that's a touchy subject, but yet it's a subject we find in the Word of God. Not only is the Word of God inspired, but it's a revelation from God. And God would not leave us in darkness. The subject I want to bring before us for a little moment is that which is, on one hand, despised, looked down upon, no longer credible, not relevant. And it's simply, dear young people, to bring before you the history of why we're here. And I would like to speak a few minutes on this subject called the one place. Is it found in Scripture? Or is it just a term that's come out of the 1800s? We're going to trace the Lord's help through Genesis to Revelation the fact that it is God's word. One place. Let's begin with Genesis chapter 1. Now you may think as we go through this that I'm just playing on a word. But as we had our ears to hear and our eyes to be opened, and this is one subject where your spiritual eyes need to be opened to see the truth of the one place. I'm not speaking of the truth of gathering, as we call it, but this principle of one place. First of all, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, In the beginning, God, verse 3, God said, and in verse 6, God said, verse 9, God said, and then there's another one where he says in verse 4, God saw. But we need to realize that this is a living God that we're speaking about. A living God, one who can hear everything you say, one who sees everything you do, and yet he's interested in you and me. We were speaking about the relationship of you and I being brought into the very family of God and having fellowship with God. But you know, you read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the last verse, and it's not just young people, brethren, that we have fellowship with God. It is God's desire to have fellowship with you. God's desire to have fellowship with you. There are some in this room who are parents. We have children. We have sons and daughters. Let me just throw this out to begin with, young people. When was the last time you had a serious talk with your father? When was the last time, dear sister, you had a serious talk with your father? Well, that's what God wants from us. Not the fact that we can enjoy the relationship that we've been brought into, but he wants to have fellowship. He wants to enter into your thoughts, into your feelings, into your exercises. And here as we start, it's one place. So let's turn over to verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Reference has been made to writings of Mr. Darby, Mr. Kelly. When I was a young person, I read most of Mr. Darby's. I didn't have any friends like you guys do. I didn't have very many friends in the meeting. So my friends turned to books. And I'm going to take this meeting as it were, if you read Mr. Darby's, he assumes you know scripture. He assumes you know where verses are. So we don't have time to go into every verse, but I'm just going to quote the verse or tell you where it is. You can look it up and check it out. Would that be all right? During the course of this little talk, if it's over your head, raise your hand. I don't want you to lose anything. It's an important subject because God spoke. God said, let all the waters be gathered together unto one place. You know, Scripture speaks of waters as either judgment or masses of people. And both of these events took place at this one place. Moses came into the presence of God with the burning bush in Exodus 3. He was told to take his shoes off for the place, three-letter word, where thou standest is holy ground. And we need to realize that, young people, when we speak about the one place, it's holy ground. And the reason it's holy ground is because of the person who occupies this place. Moses, it was Jehovah. I am that I am. People of God had gotten so far away from the Lord, they didn't even know what his name was anymore. And sad, there are many Christians who have gotten away from the recovered truth. They don't even know what it is. You've been brought up in a family. You've been brought up in a home where the Word of God is presented. And have you heard? Has your eyes been opened? But here's the first reference to the place. Water was to come. We find where that was, Psalm 42. All thy waves and thy billows rolled over me. What we're going to find, dear young people, is the one place is not only a place, but it's a person. It's a person who occupies the place. Isaiah 40, who hath measured the water in the hollow of his hand? That is a fulfillment of this verse in Genesis. God spake, let all the waters be gathered together unto one place. And there at the cross, the Lord Jesus bore the judgment of God. All the wrath of God poured out. All his billows rolled over him. We turn again to Genesis 22, story of Abraham and his son. And God spoke to him, I want you to go to one of the mountains that I tell you of. Again, God speaking, one of the mountains that I tell you of. And it says, why? I and the lad will go yonder to worship. And that's the whole point of the one place, brethren, is worship. And Lord willing, we'll see that. We're not going to have time to dwell as much as I would like to. It's an open meeting, allowing the Spirit of God to allow others to speak. But I want you to realize that this teaching one place is real. Moses, or Abraham, it says he saw the place far off. And that's where you may be tonight, or this afternoon. You may not even be breaking bread. You may not have an exercise to do so yet. But you see the place afar off. And we're so thankful you're here. We're so thankful you're here to hear the word of God. But there came a time in Abraham's life, it says he came to the place. He came to the place where God had told him of. And friends, dear brethren, young people, when you get to that place, when you realize and your eyes are open and you get to that place, you're going to be just thrilled and you're going to bow in worship. The man was born blind, his eyes were open. Who is he, Lord, that I might believe? And as soon as he found out who the Lord was, he says, I believe, and he worshiped. But again, it's a question of faith too. Abraham was told, and he went by faith. We're told too, are we not? There shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. It was brought out, Lord, to whom shall we go? Whom shall we go? It's a person. We come to Jacob. He's blessing his children. It says about Judah, Shiloh is coming, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. It's a person. Don't let the thought of one place scare you. It should be a thrilling realization, the fact that it's a person. The person of Christ himself is the one place. But again, it's worship. John chapter 4. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And so we find in Deuteronomy that they were to offer their burnt offerings not in every place, only in the place which the Lord chooses. But I don't want to get into that aspect of it. That's what we might call ecclesiastical truth. I don't want to bring that part out. I want to bring out the historical fact that there is a place, and that place is a person. 400 years between Malachi and Matthew. There's a little babe born in Bethlehem. The angels look. The shepherd said, let us go to Bethlehem. Let us go see what has taken place there. you know, for 33 years, the Lord Jesus presented to you and I the heart of man, the heart of God. And we spit in his face. We wouldn't have him. It's interesting, though, when you trace the Lord on the way to the cross. It says when it comes to the garden, there was a place. There was a place called Gethsemane. And he prayed three times the same words. And he poured out his soul unto death. He poured out his soul unto death. And then it says in Luke 23, when they came to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. Genesis, let all the waters of the earth be gathered together in one place. They come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. And over his head, a title in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, the whole waters of the whole earth represented, come there. Fulfillment of Genesis. God spoke, and it was done. And the Lord Jesus could say, I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. By the rod of his wrath. The one place is a person. Two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You've heard that verse, I'm sure. But to realize that it's the person of Christ himself enfolding every grace. Tomorrow, if the Lord tarries, there's going to be a table, there's going to be a loaf, and there's going to be a cup on that table. And the Lord Jesus is going to ask us to remember him. To remember him. There are some in this audience that have a little carnation, I guess it is. And it's a symbol of remembrance. Those who have died for this country. Do you realize, young people, Jesus died for you? The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The Son of God loved me. We were reading this morning in John how that John could say that we were eyewitnesses. We saw, we heard. And as I read that portion, brethren, we kind of read it in a monotonistic tone. I believe when the John wrote that, he was just beaming. He was just so thrilled to think of the very one. We saw him. We held him. We heard him. And the desire of John's heart was that you and I would enter into that fellowship. Oh, you ever get excited about anything? This is a living book that was brought before us. And it was thrilled that he was speaking about it. He was thrilled with it, excited. He valued this book, a revelation from God. And those of us who speak, we're supposed to speak as the oracles of God. Oh, you go into each one of these aspects of the place for the Lord Jesus. It wasn't a kind place. It wasn't a happy place. But he came to do the will of his Father. They went, both of them, together to worship. The Lord Jesus, it says in the Hebrews, when he offered himself without spot to God, poured out his soul. Did he pour out his soul for you, dear young people, so you can play with the world? Have one foot in the assembly, one foot in the world. One foot in the assembly, one foot in the camp. Or like me sometimes, one foot in the assembly, the other foot in my mouth. We need to value the place. But that which gives value to the place is the person And that which gives value to the person is the realization in your own soul, dear young people, died for you. He loves you, cares about you. One of the exercises I have over the years is the empty chairs. The empty chairs used to be our children, young people. They're gone. Paul says, who did hinder you? Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Dear young people, if there's somebody here that feels I've offended you, I'm sorry. It was not intended. Don't let somebody drive you away from the very person who wants you to be there. He says, let me hear thy voice. Let me see thy countenance. Oh, don't take a victim approach, dear young people, in your lives. The Lord Jesus was the only real victim. Yet we can sing, his be the victim's name. His be the victim's name. I realize I've gone over this rather quickly, but I want you to go back and I want you to look at the place. Judas, it says of him, he knew the place. And you may know the place, but not partake of it. You may know. You may know. Revelation, it says, and there was found no place. So God starts out with one place, no place. Bridges that gap with the cross, and if you reject the counsels of God against yourself, if there's one in this room still lost in your sins, there's going to be a time when God, as it were, looks through the entire universe, through everything, and says, there's no place. You're cast into utter darkness, cast, weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. Thing that makes it precious to me, 1 Corinthians 10, let's turn to it. Mentioned, Lord willing, there will be a loaf and a cup. 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? The Bible I have has fellowship. It isn't the fact, brethren, that we have fellowship one with another when we're partaking of that loaf and we're partaking of that cup. For we are having fellowship with God concerning that sacrifice. It says here, the cup of blessing which we bless is not the communion of the blood of Christ. Go back to the days of the tabernacle. There was an ark. On the ark was a mercy seat. On the mercy seat were two cherubims. Glory. One article. Never separated. You never find them separated. And so here you find the loaf and the cup. You cannot separate them. It's one and the same, and yet they're two distinct things. The body of the Lord Jesus there at the cross, racked in pain, bleeding back, whipped, scourged, spit upon, ridiculed. The blood from his side. Moses, Exodus 33, wanted to see his glory. Brethren, don't come to the meeting, young people, and just see the loaf and the cup as an institution, but come to it in the consciousness of, I want to see his glory. Moses wanted to see God's glory. God said, can't do that, but I will make a way. I'll pass by you, and I'll put you in a cleft of the rock. Who was that cleft of the rock? It's the Lord Jesus, soldier with a spear pierced his side. You and I are in that cleft. We're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. And as we see that loaf and cup, Lord willing, tomorrow, Jesus said, "Our Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me, that they may behold my glory." God has spoken in his holiness, and it was at the cross. And when we come, just don't see it as a cup and a loaf of bread, but see it as the glory of God revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. He wants us to come before him and worship. They that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. It goes back to Genesis 22, doesn't it? The Father and the Son. But there may be somebody here who perhaps sees the place afar off. Oh, I'm so thankful you at least you see it. There are many who don't. Oh, but that day comes when you see the place. Your eyes are open and you realize it's Jesus. It's the person of Christ himself. That's who I'm gathered to. I'm gathered around him as he asked me to. Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me. Not only have we been brought into the family of God, but we've been given as a gift to the Son. And we're going to be all gathered around him in a coming day, that's true. But today, Scripture shows I'm not adequate as such. And actually, I have to confess, sometimes it's intimidating for young brothers to come up here and see all these older brothers, and you just hope you don't say the wrong thing. Brethren, you can't go wrong with Jesus. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, and he wants you there. Don't become an empty chair because somebody said something to you or didn't say something to you. Don't become an empty chair because you don't feel there's anything for you in the meeting. Be there because Jesus is there. And if you ever get discouraged, young people, because of maybe you're from a small meeting, remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Behold, a greater than Jonas is here. And then he says, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. So again, as I said, I didn't want to go into the ecclesiastical aspect of it. A lot in Deuteronomy, a lot in the tabernacle aspect. But sometimes we lose sight of the fact that the place, and I want to use just simply, but the place is a person. A person. My Savior. Your Savior. And he says, this do in remembrance of me. And when Jonah was in that whale, it's kind of touching to me. He says, when everything is just falling apart, he says, I remember the Lord. Have you remembered the Lord, dear young people? Like Naaman, if he told you to climb Mount Royal and use a skateboard and go down, would you do it? How much better if you just simply say, go wash and be clean. The Lord Jesus says, come, this do in remembrance of me. But just a little thought, brethren, to exercise our hearts. Don't let anybody ever tell you there's no such thing in Scripture as one place. God says there is. It's up to you and I to find it. It's up to you and I to be exercised about it. One of my sons always throws things in my face, and he says, you can't force an exercise on your brethren. You know, it's not a question of forcing an exercise on you at all. The problem is that so often we don't have an exercise period. We're not concerned about what the Lord might say about it. We want to do our own thing. We want to have our own way. It's about me. Nothing is about me. Nothing is about you. But it's all about him. That in all things he might have the preeminence. And so I challenge you. If you want to use a concordance, that's fine. But look up the place. You'll find it's the place, one place, a place, no place. But thank God, by his grace,
At least for myself, I know I am in the right place. And I trust you can say that too.